Hello again, Nightmare Society. I hope you all are well. A big thanks to our producers for this week's episode. Danielle, Ginger, Mike to the D, Cat OJ, Devin, Savannah, Pixel Donut, Janelle, Michelle, Diane, Joy, Josh, and Shorty9867. If you're interested in supporting the podcast and becoming an official member of the Nightmare Society, please visit patreon.com/nightmaresociety. Last week, I posted a bonus episode on the Patreon. It was a lengthy update from a story from episode 63, Someone's Coming, where the person kept waking up in the middle of the night to find their back door wide open. I also forget to keep mentioning the merch available on nightmaresociety.threadless.com. So if you're interested in merch, head over there and check it out. Now, on to the stories. Thanks to user Still044 and user Hefe36 for sharing their stories with us tonight. So get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
I've worked my entire adult life in the Pacific Northwest woods. Over 15 years in total, with about 7 years of that being for the Park Service at Olympic National Park. Many, many experiences over the years could warrant the title of creepy. This one in particular has always stuck with me. While working for the Park Service, one of my jobs was that of a restoration carpenter. We would travel to old backcountry historical cabins, emergency shelters, homesteads, and chalets, tasked with repairing and restoring them to their original historic accurate states. This was a wonderful and demanding job. I'd spend 8 days at a time living off the beaten path, usually deep in the backcountry. Sometimes we'd be flown in supplies. Sometimes we'd use llamas or mules to pack our gear, all the while sleeping in thinly walled single tents, cooking over a fire or a whisper light stove, using the same tools and techniques the original homesteaders had at their disposal in the late 1800s to construct and survive in this unforgiving environment. Late one fall, I was assigned to work near Lake Ozette at an old homestead off the trail, near the constructed boardwalk. For those unfamiliar with the area of Lake Ozette, it's 8 miles long and 3 miles wide. It sits at the largest unaltered natural lake in Washington. Lake Ozette has a long and rich history of Native American culture. The Maka Tribal Center in Nia Bay houses discoveries found in the area dating back 2,000 years, along with a local village that was well preserved over 300 years ago by a mudslide that left most of the artifacts intact. The Ozette Loop Trail, which the homestead was directly adjacent to, is approximately 9.4 miles through and through. The man-made boardwalk takes you under giant cedar groves, meanders through huge patches of chest-high salal before delivering you to Alstrom's Prairie, about 2.5 miles from the trailhead. Alstrom's Prairie, a giant, soggy meadow, was once farmed by two Swedish immigrants. They constructed a small cabin and some outbuildings on the 150-acre bog. With cattle, sheep, vegetable gardens, and the help of a little Swedish ingenuity, they managed to etch out lives for themselves here for over 50 years. Over time, the forest, as it always does, decided to take back what was once its own. The now decades-long abandoned farm was hardly recognizable. Our job was to beat back the encroaching forest, put, quote, new windows on the main cabin, pipe in a new stove, apply fresh paint, and fix up portions of the semi-dilapidated barn. The ultimate goal being to allow guided tours to take place sometime in the future. For about 3 weeks, we stayed at the Ozette bunkhouse while working at Alstrom's. This was good duty for us. We weren't sleeping under the rain. Our beds were warm. Our hike was short, and the terrain was not difficult. We even had a TV. The bunkhouse was located near the highway and ranger station. We would hike the 5-mile loop every day, bringing with us boards, tools, paint, and everything else we needed on our backs. These were full 10-plus-hour days. Usually started our morning hike around 7 o'clock in the morning, and beginning our evening return back to the bunkhouse around 1700. At one point during the fall, there were 4 of us working this project, but at the time of this event, there were only 2 of us remaining. Most of the hard work had already been finished. We needed to hike a few last boards into the prairie to complete a portion of the woodshed before we called the job done. I volunteered to be the pack mule for the day, my only job being to carry as many boards as I could muster in each trip to the prairie before returning to the ranger station for the next load. It was late in the season for hikers at this point. The weather had turned and we'd be lucky to see 2 to 3 people a day during the loop. After around my 4th or 5th trip, I was pretty wiped. It was getting late in the evening now, around 1600, and my coworker had called it a day. I thought I could get one more trip in before it got too dark. My rationale being the more trips I did today, the less I would have to do tomorrow. We passed on the trail. I told him my intentions and continued on. I delivered the last of the boards for the day. Took a look around the prairie as the sun started to tuck behind the trees, and started my hour hike back to the ranger station. The lighting on the boardwalk was quite low at this point, the cedars blocking most of the ambient light left by the setting sun, and making visibility quite diminished. I'm not a nervous hiker and fail to spook easily. Having solo hiked for weeks on end in the backcountry, I've been stalked by cougars, confronted by Kodiak bears in Alaska, even ran into a few demented hillbillies over the years. As I left the prairie that evening, the hair on my neck stood on end. Goosebumps erupted from my forearms. An uneasy feeling swept over me. Suddenly, I wanted to walk faster, jog, and then sprint. I didn't. Instead, I convinced myself I'd been reading too many fantasy novels before bedtime. I walked another 5 minutes or so before I started to hear something faint, something that sounded like music. Impossible, I told myself. I'm the only one out here and still at least 2 miles from civilization. That, quote, civilization, in reality being likely the only other soul out there. My coworker. Sure enough, however, I heard music. More specifically, a piano. It started out so faint I had to stop moving and actually try to hear it, the steps on the wooden boardwalk being too loud. Every time I paused to hear it, it became unmistakable, and it got louder. I stood there, sun now fully hidden behind the horizon. In total silence other than this piano, I became aware that there were no longer the noises of life. No birds, no insects, no wind, no rustling of leaves or underbrush. Absolutely nothing other than the piano. As if everything was being weighted down by a fog of emptiness of some sorts. I've encountered this dead time before in the woods. Certain places have it, but this was different somehow. Unique to this place. Unique to this moment in time. I tried to focus on the keys, but I couldn't recognize the composition. Unsurprising, as I mostly listened to Metallica and Korn at the time. It was playing with a purpose. It was controlled, in tune, thoughtful. It was a song, and somehow I felt that it was meant just for me in this moment. I started walking again. Almost on cue, the music once again got louder. As my pace increased, so did the tempo of the keys, still in tune, never faltering. It reached a climax, the perfect combination of my haste, my dread, my heartbeat, and the tempo of the music. Then, as quickly as it came, the piano stopped, whooshed away in the fraction of a moment. It didn't trail off. It didn't fade into extinction. It was just gone. Suddenly, everything that was absent was swept away as if by a gust of wind. The stillness was gone. The gloom, the stagnation and weight of everything was lifted. My next step on the boardwalk was once again in reality. The evening was just as absent of light as before. But it felt like life somehow was once again injected back into the forest. The woods seemed normal again. I didn't hear the piano again that night, nor since. I told my coworker every detail when I reached the bunkhouse. He showed no signs of disbelief. We didn't talk about it again until years later. When something similar happened to another Park Service employee. When I told my grandfather about what happened, as he was a retired park ranger who had worked nearby at Mora, the next station over, without the least bit of hesitation, he asked,
"Did you hear the bagpipes along with it, or just the piano this time?"
It seems, as I've learned and experienced since then, there's a lot more to that place, a lot more to the Olympics in general, than anyone really knows or is willing to admit. This happened a couple of years ago in Virginia, and is also the reason I never backpack alone anymore. I was taking summer courses at the time, and we ended up with a 3-day weekend in June, so I thought it was a great time to go explore some of the Virginian wilderness. I did a Google search and found a state park with a trail that looked nice, and let my roommate and family know the trail I was going to be on. When I got close to the park area, I saw a little outdoor shop where people hiking the Appalachian Trail stop. I went in to grab a map of the area just in case I got lost. As I was talking to the owner, he mentioned a trail that's not well known that has pretty cool waterfall and a swimming hole. This piqued my interest, so I had him show me on the map. It took me outside the state park, but he said it was a great place to go. I paid for the map and thanked the owner. I texted my roommate and parents about the new trail, and I parked my car and set off on my adventure. I should note that the waterfall was going to be a side trip from my journey. I was planning 3 days and 2 nights. I started on part of the Appalachian Trail, and it was pretty packed with people. And some of them were really fun to talk to. As expected, as I got further and further from the main trails, I saw less and less people. Around early afternoon, 3 miles from my destination, I noticed it was unnaturally silent. No birds, no bugs, not even wind, and I had a feeling of being watched. I shook it off as me overanalyzing the situation. I got to the waterfall, and it wasn't too spectacular, but it was cool to look at. Plus, it had a good size area to swim, and so naturally I stripped down to my skivvies and took a dip. It was pretty refreshing. As I was getting my clothes back on, I started whistling to myself. It was Chill Bill because it was stuck in my head. That's when I heard something whistle the same tune back. I thought it was a bird copying me, so I went back and forth with it, and it'll repeat whatever I whistled. I thought it was pretty neat. As I was setting up camp, I couldn't shake this feeling that I was being watched again. Like I would get goosebumps and my hairs would stand up. As night fell, I built a small fire and lit my jet boil to make dinner. As I did this, I became hyper aware that again there was no sound, just deafening silence. Some part of my brain was telling me that I'm not safe and to leave. I ignored it and crawled into my tent with my flashlight and book. I went to sleep without incident. When I woke up the next morning, my sight was completely trashed. My camp stool was nowhere to be found. My bear bag with my food was cut down and the contents were thrown across the site. My first thought was a crafty animal chewed through the rope and got at the bag. But I looked at the rope, and it was cut with something very sharp. Plus, none of the food was even touched. I also noticed human footprints around my campsite. Bare human footprints. Keep in mind, I'm at least 6 to 8 miles from a road. As I was looking at the mess, I heard a branch snap off in the distance. I turned to look in that direction. I saw nothing, but I heard that whistling again. My whistle from yesterday. But it was different. It sounded more sinister. It made my hair stand on end, and this is when I listened to my instincts to get the heck out. It sounded like it was a little off in the distance, so I packed up my camp as fast as I could. The whistling got closer as I finished stuffing the tent into my bag. I didn't bother with putting anything away properly. The whistling was incessant and sounded like it was coming from all directions. I got fed up with the whistling and stood and yelled into the woods.
Shut up! What do you want?
It stopped whistling and it was quiet for a moment. Then it repeated what I said. In my voice. It sounded just like me, but distorted like it came from an old TV. After I heard this, I immediately threw my pack on and ran the direction I came. I heard it moving just behind me, fast switching between the whistle and my voice. It felt like it was toying with me, not coming too close, but not being too far. Eventually, it sounded like it got further and further away from me. Then it stopped suddenly. When it stopped, I stopped and turned around. I wished I didn't, because I heard the most bone-chilling screech ever coming from right next to me. That's when I started running again. I did not look. I only ran. Less than a half a mile, I ran into a couple that was also backpacking. They saw the look of terror in my face and asked if that was me that screamed, and asked if I was okay. I told them about what happened, and they decided to not go down where I just came from. We moved to a more populated trail in as quickly as we could. As soon as I got back in my car, I drove to one of the park's ranger stations and reported what happened. Since the site was off park grounds, they told me it wasn't in their jurisdiction, but they would send a ranger to investigate. The ranger's station parking lot runs right up to the woods, and when I was getting into my Jeep, I heard the Chill Bill tune coming from the woods, just in front of me. I never drove so fast in my life. When I told my roommate why I was back after only one night, all he said was,
"Bro, I am never going camping with you."
Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Nightmare Society Radio and on Twitter at @society_radio. Also, if you'd like to check out the merch, as a reminder, it is on nightmaresociety.threadless.com. And you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/nightmaresociety. You can also send your true horror story to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. Until next time.